So now let us actually begin to sit. So squirm around for a moment. Stand up, whatever you need to do so that you're, let the, if whatever's been evoked in you emotionally as inspiration, you let that stay, but you don't have to hold on to it. You're just, feeling of appreciation or stimulation or, I feel invited. I feel all parts of me being invited into the room. I'm going to just briefly chant the refuges, and I'll talk about the precepts later. You're welcome to chat with me if you're in a room where you feel comfortable doing that. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddham saranam gacchami, Dhammam saranam gacchami, Sangham saranam gacchami, Dutiyam pi Buddham saranam gacchami, Dutiyam pi Dhammam saranam gacchami, Dutiyam pi Sangham saranam gacchami, Tatiyam pi Buddham saranam gacchami, Tatiyam pi Dhammam saranam gacchami, Tatiyam pi Sangham saranam gacchami. Arriving. Arriving. Arriving here. Arriving now. Arriving in the time space of here and now. Arriving is an intention. Arriving is an aspiration. Arriving is a goal. Arriving is a practice. The felt sense of arriving. You can feel yourself coming into the present moment. The means is mindfulness, sati, the Buddha's mindfulness, inviting mindfulness to arise and stay present. Mindful here, mindful now. There's a felt sense of that mindfulness. At some point, we start to feel present. We do have the sense of, oh, at least in some moments, I am genuinely here and now in my attention. I am present. We know this, among other ways, by being able to feel the immediacy of the moment. This moment's arising has a duration and a passing. And we're present. And we know we're present. This could happen within seconds or more like minutes. We're not in any hurry. And at some point we realize that we are present in such a way that we are actually available to know our experience and to respond to our experience in some way, to be in relationship to what's occurring in the mind heart arising from any of the sense gates or the mind itself. We're not yet interested in turning our attention to that. This is preliminary. This is establishing ourselves. But we realize that we know, we can feel that we are present. It's very useful, very empowering. We are present. We're available to have a relatedness to what's occurring outside, from outer experience and from inner experience, external experience, internal experience. We are available to have a relationship with it. One of the characteristics of being available is that we recognize we have choice. Thus, in our relatedness to what arises in the mind heart, we have choice. Thus, in our concentration practice, we are relating and collecting and gathering the mind. It's not just a empty process. It's a live process where there's choice over and over again to have the mind become collected and unified because of the wholesomeness of being available that way. There's some doing, but not so much. As we continue in this exploration of available, at some point, sooner or later, we realize how the mind can be so jumpy, or all sorts of things that can come in from the past, or just the momentum of our yesterday or our morning before we started practice, that it can lead the mind to all sorts of places when we're available, that the availableness represents a kind of concentration to the point, in fact, that you can become completely concentrated here. It deepens and deepens. But also, you can get concentrated on your fantasy or that little argument you had yesterday, and suddenly you sense that, and I was right, becomes so powerful, so enticing, because you are available more fully to it than usual. And thus we recognize the need to be aligned, to have some kind of protection, some sort of orientation, some sort of aspiration that keeps us relating to our experience, because we are now empowered to relate from a Dhamma perspective. Again, this is practical. It's mysterious how this works. But on the street of life, and let's treat our retreat time as part of the street of life, what we want is that which empowers us. That's what we cultivate, that which has integrity and dignity and creates choice with this attitude of humility. And so we recognize that mind is without bounds, and thus the need to align. So we've arrived, we are available, and now we have come from wisdom and compassion, not ambition, wisdom and compassion, and we choose to align. So we reflect on some aspect of the Dhamma that brings us into alignment with the Dhamma in a way where this, we know what we're about. We're establishing ourselves in the Dhamma. There could be a piece of a sutta that you use to do this. It could be the aligning with the refuge of the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha's refuge, are just one, aligning with the Buddha, aligning with the Sangha, this long lineage, or aligning with Dhamma itself. What I do is align with the first two, the wisdom parts of the Eightfold Path, wise intention and wise view and wise intention. Wise view is the bigger picture. It gives us the goal where we're headed, our what I call aspiration, wise aspiration. Intention is this very moment, here and now. This very moment, I intend to live this moment, to relate to this moment as a Dhamma moment. This is so useful with the Four Noble Truths. So useful. So you choose your own. It can be aligning with one or more of the Brahma Viharas. Metta, metta. Karuna, this compassion. At some point, there emerges, it may not be ready for you yet, but if you stick with it, it will come. We feel aligned. We, again, the indication of it, the metric of it, is there a little sense of uplifting. It can be felt in the body, it can be felt in the heart area, the mind can get a little more clear, the energy, all of these different aspects of consciousness can tell us that, yes, there's a feeling of alignment. And at that point, we are aligned and available. So powerful, where you can experience it more as available and now aligned. So aligned, available, available, aligned. I tend to experience it fluctuating. Sometimes it feels more one way, more the other, and I never worry about that. What I do notice is I feel as though there is a ground. I am grounded in the present moment because I'm available and aligned. This is really powerful. Feel it in yourself. I term it the first ground, our first ground that we get to experience. It's the ground of being a practitioner. The ground of choosing the noble path to relating to all that occurs on the street of life. It was a ground of motivation. Characterized by our humility of owning without defensiveness our own imperfection. So it's directional, this ground. It allows us to practice. And with the humility and the dignity and integrity, we know that we can choose to practice practice. We cannot choose to practice results. Just try it sometime. I did this over and over again, these long retreats. And repeatedly, without exception, I found that if I maintained this attitude of practicing practice, that's when I was available. That's when I was aligned. That's when I had this ground. The ego doesn't have to be in the center when we're practicing practice. If you pay close attention, sometimes there will be delight just because of this feeling. Oh, the ego's so happy. It's just so happy. Oh. She's given me a break. It's so self-imposed, this doing. With this grounded feeling of knowing what we're about, we turn now to the kind of exploring what arises in the mind-heart that's described in the four satipatthanas, the four establishments of mindfulness, or sometimes called the four foundations of mindfulness, meaning how we look at our experience. We use these four perspectives. We're noticing different things in each of these four. And we began just as the Buddha did, with the body. Now, the groundedness, this aligned and available, comes with us. So the feeling when we turn to the body is one of being available. We're available to what? To know the body. So what does it feel like to know the body? How do you know that there is a body? Mindful of the body till there is awareness that there is a body, says in the Satipatthana, the first Satipatthana. Notice what happens. Do you discover something that you wish was different? Is that what you're noticing? That is a reaction to the body. That's not the actual felt sense. So stay with the felt sense. If it's something that's hurting and you're disappointed it's hurting, for now, stay with, well, the hurt feels like this. Knowing it with compassion. If there's something that you feel too skinny or too large, or your body feels old now, or any one of a thousand inadequacies that we can find in ourselves, that's reactivity. That's not being with. So we be with that body the way we're knowing it. And we are so kind, so appreciative of the body. Why would we be harsh to the body? The body's not making choices. We utilize an aspect, a dimension of this incredible consciousness we have, this incredible array of consciousness. There's a consciousness that registers physical sensations. This is physical body consciousness. So drop your attention to the lower half of the body. Feeling the pelvic area. Through skin, flesh, and all that's contained in flesh. Letting your awareness come to the bones, the pelvic bones. This whole bowl of, made up of pelvic bones. The felt sense is firm, hard, heavy. This is the earth element. Earth element, earth element. Feeling the upper leg bone in each leg through skin, flesh, to the bones. Earth element, firm, hard, heavy. As we feel this, there's often a sense of the weight underside. Very satisfying feeling. Doesn't always occur. Knees and the two lower leg bones. Hard, firm, heavy. Earth element, earth element. Earth element being known. The ankle bones, all the bones in the feet, so many bones in the feet, so many bones in the toes. Heart firm, heavy, earth element, earth element. Earth element being known, earth element being received as a felt experience. All of this lower half of the body being known through its earth element. If you will, please invite the earth element to rest on earth. This weight underside may become more pronounced. The breath may change, particularly there in the belly or right below the belly button or the lower spine may more receive the breath, so there's more of a flow of energy becoming available. What characterizes the earth element? Stillness. Stillness in the body. Steady stillness. We can feel because we can have a felt sense through physical consciousness, physical body consciousness, this characteristic of the stillness. And the mind responds. So steady and now include the upper body, the skull, all the bones in the skull. So many bones. Through the scalp. Through the bones themselves. Are firm, heavy. Earth element, earth element. All the bones, all the little cartilage in the spine from the top of the neck down to the very bottom, the sacrum. To skin, flesh, earth element, earth element. The arms, the upper arms, the shoulder joints, down to the elbows. Earth element, earth element. The lower arm bones. There's two bones in each of the arms, through skin, through flesh. The wrist, the hands, the fingers, so many bones. Earth element, earth element. Inviting the earth element to rest on earth, the upper body. So steadying. In Zen, it's called sitting in the bones. We notice in that stillness a kind of movement that occurs through the whole body. Many different sources of that movement. But the one that we have most become familiar with, most explored it in meditation practice, is the wind element, which we know through what is termed breath. Just as the physical body of the earth element is stillness, so movement characterizes the breath. And so we choose to focus our attention on this aspect of the body, the feeling of movement in the body. Again, this is a body consciousness, this capacity of consciousness that can know the physicality of experience. Amazingly, the knowing of a moving object like the breath, there is still stillness present. How can this be? Our attention is steady. The knowing capacity is steady. So we feel the beginning of the inhale, its duration, its cessation. The beginning of the exhale, its duration. Its cessation. The knowing is steady. The mind is collected and unified around an ever-moving object. This feeling of the steadiness collects and unifies even more. There's a softening into the experience as the mind relaxes. Thoughts about the experience become secondary or become few thoughts, or thoughts just, you don't have many thoughts at all. Just this felt experience, the steadiness of knowing the breath. No thoughts about the breath, but rather the very felt sense you become intimate with. Very intimate. The breath may become alive in some way that you're not accustomed to. Stay with the felt sense. You're relating to the experience through the felt sense of it. So intimate. That steady stillness of knowing the moving object. At some point, you might even feel that there's a kind of contentment of mind. You can feel the presence of contentment. You are available for this experience. You can feel the available, that you are available. Brings confidence of relaxation. Align so you don't get too excited. Are you not demanding more from it? You're not in any hurry. So that's the instructions for the second or third day of a retreat. And we just went straight towards it. Just straight towards it. It's not that you evaluate your experience, but you are aware of your experience. Because you didn't have time to go into whatever its usual story. If you were following the instructions, you didn't have time to create a story. So who knows what you got to experience. We get in our own way so often in our practice. We just do. It's just humans. It's not you. It doesn't belong to you. You don't have any specialness of getting in your own way. So just let that go now. You show me your ways and I'll show you my ways of getting in our way. It's just human. It's just human. But we do have a range of possibility around that. That's it's there for us to explore. This being available is such a different attitude. Practicing practice gives us so much more space than get this done. But a lot was being asked of you, you know, suggested to you. There's a lot, but there was, don't have to be doing. I'm available. See how much of this resonates in me or doesn't resonate. I'm just being available. I don't have to, I have integrity in my practice. But that's it. There's dignity there. But it's humility. So not much happened this time. That's great. Oh, wow. I didn't know I could do that. I learned something. Bow when we learn something. Not like, I learned something. But it can be yay, but not this. That's the way the path of the Dhamma flows.